Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, one of your hosts for tonight, and I'm here with my good friend Tom Moore, the gospel preacher from the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. I am the preacher here at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and we're broadcasting from Stephenville tonight from Studio 6. This is the HPR network that we're on, KATX 97.7, also KNNK 100.5 out in Hereford, Texas. We also broadcast out of KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and knowthetruthradio.org on the Internet. You can use your TuneIn app on a smartphone and go to knowthetruthradio.org, and you can get this on your smartphone as well as your computer. Now, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. You can go to our webpage at www.harrisonmoore.org. We also have a blog, www.fromthepreacherpc.org. There are many ways to enter our discussion. And if you have a question, if you have a comment that you would like to make, we encourage you to use the phone. This is a live call-in talk show. We can respond immediately to you. The questions or comments can come. The number is easy to remember. It's 1-855-QA-Bible. Just spell it out. Questions and Answers Bible. 855-QA-Bible. You can email your questions in as well to questions@harrisonmoore.org. And if you get on knowthetruthradio.org, you can also go to the chat room, and there's a place there where you can type in your responses, your questions, or your comments there as well. But we encourage you to pick up the phone and make that telephone call. Now, our additional sponsors, in addition to the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville and the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, we have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, and the 4th and Stewart Street Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. Now, tonight we are going to tackle a controversial topic, and the reason I call it controversial is only because men have made it so. There are a lot of misconceptions about the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, are the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. And we ask the question, why in the world do we want to study the Holy Spirit? And there are numerous reasons as to why. Mainly, God wants us to know about the Holy Spirit. He would not have put the information in the Bible about the Holy Spirit unless he had wanted us to know the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people out there that say, you know, there's just some things that we cannot know. And there may be some things that we cannot know, but Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all of the words of this law. Those things that are revealed belong unto us, Tom. And there's a tremendous amount of information in the Bible concerning the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're wanting to talk about tonight. And we're going to really focus in on the misconceptions of man, the misconceptions of religion concerning the Holy Spirit and his work.
Exactly. You know, when we think about this subject tonight, David, about the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit, this misunderstanding and these misconceptions have brought about a lot of division in the religious world. And I dare say that this might be the single most significant problem in the denominational world that brings about, well, just opens the door for so many false doctrines. It opens the door for subjectivism, and when people think they're being led by the Holy Spirit in contradiction to what Scripture says, well, you're opening a great, big can of worms, and we see that happening in our day to day. You know, there's a tremendous amount of misunderstanding in religion today because of this very issue. People just do not understand or misunderstand or refuse to understand what the Holy Spirit's all about.
Right. Well, tonight we're going to try to cover, and we're possibly not going to get through all of this, but that's okay. We've got another program coming up next week. We're going to understand the reality of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at His person. We're going to look at His mission. We're going to look how the Holy Spirit influences people in conversion and sanctification, and whether He operates directly or whether the Holy Spirit operates through a medium, whether He is still giving modern-day revelations or whether the Holy Spirit baptism is still a current phenomenon. All of these things are misunderstood. And truly, Tom, everything related to the Holy Spirit is misconceived and misappropriated by reckless men and women of our day.
Exactly. And the thing we need to understand, David, and our listeners, is that everything a person knows about the Holy Spirit comes from the Bible, or they do not know anything at all. And that's the big problem today.
Yes, it is.
A lot of people think they know something about the Holy Spirit, but they didn't get it from the Bible. They may have gotten it from some book some man wrote, or they got it from some feeling they think they have. But, friends, if you want to know about the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to go to the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that reveals unto us details concerning the Holy Spirit. Again, you have heard what men have said. Let's hear what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. And tonight, we're going to be looking at various misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. Now, this is just the beginning of our journey. We're going to be looking at things concerning the Holy Spirit for the next several weeks. And so we're going to be getting to all the things you're concerned about. But tonight, we're focusing on some misconceptions that people have about the Holy Spirit. And David, one of the first misconceptions that we might think about tonight is there are misconceptions to His being a spirit.
No doubt. And the fact that that word spirit is linked with His name throws people for a loop. The first explicit mention of the Holy Spirit, the first explicit mention of Him, refers to Him as a spirit. And we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, and there we read, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water." The Holy Spirit is a personality in the Godhead. There are three persons in the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And here we see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water." Now, He is the third person of the Godhead. We also have the first person of the Godhead, which is the Father. And we are told in John chapter 4 and verse 24 about Him, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But then Christ is also the second person of the Godhead, and He is a spirit, and we know that because the Bible tells us so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So each and every member of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is a spiritual being. Now, Tom, this makes the third person, God the Holy Spirit, no more mystical, no more mysterious, no more complex than the first or the second persons of the Godhead. That would be God the Father, God the Son.
Exactly. You know, when they hear the word Holy Spirit, they are not willing to attribute that same word Spirit to the Father and the Son, which them also are spirit. We could easily say, Father the Spirit mm-hmm. and Jesus the Spirit as we do the Holy Spirit, because they're both spiritual entities.
Right.
And when people, again, you know, we live in an age where people are so interested in mysticism and things that are mystical, and, mm-hmm. and they look at the Holy Spirit and focus on the Spirit and think of something mystical and not thinking of Jesus as a person. Well, you know, that's really our second misconception that we need to discuss. There are misconceptions about him being a person.
Mm-hmm.
Being a spirit does not negate his being a person. God is a person. Jesus Christ is a person. And the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, a lot of people concede that the Father and the Son are a person, but they conveniently or ignorantly forget or neglect or choose not to know that the Spirit also is a person.
Well, and I do believe this is because of the concept of the denominational religious world that has been out there all of my life, all of your life, 100 years before us, and even all the way back into the first century. People got this idea that the Holy Spirit was not like God the Father and God the Son. He was some kind of another influence. He wasn't a person. He was an influence, an influence that just overwhelmed you, where you couldn't do anything about it. And you have heard this kind of gobbledygook preached and taught all over the radio and all over the television, and we have become accustomed to this, and we have become accustomed to thinking that we're dealing with something that is mystical, that cannot be understood. It just gets a hold of us, and there's nothing that we can do about it.
And they refer to the Holy Spirit simply as an influence and mm-hmm. not a person. Now, remember, the number to call, if you'd like to chime in on the chat or on our discussion tonight with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about various misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. And it's important for us to talk about this topic tonight because the misunderstanding and the ignorance in this area is a large reason why we have so much religious division in our world today. It's a reason why we have so many false doctrines in our world today. It's the reason why so many people are given to subjectivism. And they just don't know what the Bible has to say. Again, you have heard what men have said. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say, what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. There are some, David, as we just got through mentioning, that perceive the Spirit as nothing more than simply an influence, or they've reduced him to being a person, or not even a person, but just a mysterious it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this comes from the unfortunate translation referring to the Spirit. Even in the King James Version, in a place or two, it refers to the Spirit there as itself instead of himself. But later on, we find in the American Standard Version and the New King James Version, there's an improvement on this by using himself in both of these renderings. This is a more correct, more appropriate translation here. And this may be one of the reasons for some of the misconception or the misunderstanding, but I still want to reiterate that men, reckless men and women throughout centuries, have given a mystical idea and a mystical perception to the third person of the Godhead, and that is a person. He is the Holy Spirit.
You know, there are a lot of people that might be listening tonight, David, or who are hearing things that they've never heard before,
mm-hmm.
things that they've been confused about, and so they'll be tempted to sit back and just listen and not call in.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear what's going on in your mind. We'd like for you to call in with a question or a comment. Maybe if you just want to think out loud with us, we'd be more than happy to discuss this issue with you using the Scriptures. Again, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about misconceptions that people have concerning the Holy Spirit. There were some people who have misconceptions concerning Him being a spiritual being. There are misconceptions that people have about Him being a person. Some people don't think He is a person, but only an influence or some mystical it. But you know, there are a lot of misguided religionists, a lot of misguided people in the denominational world, and sadly even in the Lord's church, it seems, who deem Him to be a liquid that can be poured out of heaven and received into a zealous vessel of humanity. You know, that mentality speaks to the fact that they believe that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than an influence to be mm-hmm. poured out. But the Bible says something much different than that.
Certainly it does. And a lot of people get caught up in metaphorical language, figurative language. And the figurative language of Joel chapter 2 and the reiteration of Joel chapter 2 by Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts.
Unfortunately, there was a problem with the recording this night. We'll now resume quite a bit later during the broadcast.
Are a part of the majority of all of the denominations that are out there in the world. It is a creed by a man which advocates the influence of the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, interestingly, this is not what is called a charismatic religion. It's not the speaking in tongues and the rolling around on the floor and the uncontrollable movements. It is something more like, He laid this on my heart, or He nudged me, and this is what this direct operation of the Holy Spirit is doing to me. Now, it is of a varying degree, because even those who adhere to the Calvinistic theology, they won't even go out there with the charismatic bunch, with the ones who claim full throttle operation of the direct operation of the Holy Spirit.
You know, it's almost a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yes, it is.
People don't think it's all that bad. Well, we're not like the Pentecostals. We're not like those holy rollers who roll around on the floor out there. We're not to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
And as you said just a moment ago, if this is true, if God is still speaking directly to men and women today, then why in the world would you want to bother with this New Testament, nearly 2,000 years old, if the direct impact of the Spirit upon their heart takes place? Why in the world would you even want to do this?
Now remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a conversation or if you'd like to ask a question, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about misconceptions of the Holy Spirit, misconceptions concerning Him being a spirit, and misconceptions concerning Him being an actual person. And at this very moment we're talking about misconceptions about how He influences man. You know, when a man believes that the Spirit is influencing him apart from the written word of God,
mm-hmm.
then is that not an insult to the all-sufficiency of the word of God?
Well, there's no doubt about that. There is absolutely no doubt about that. It kind of makes shambles of the whole thing. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we're told there that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, that's what the Word of God does. Thoroughly furnishes man unto all good works. Now, if this is not true, then or if the direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon man's heart right now, if that is true, then God's word is a lie.
That's right.
They cannot both be true at the same time. There are other scriptures, too. Tommy, you got one?
Well, the one that always is powerful to me is in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3,
mm-hmm.
where there it says, "Seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us," now notice this, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Here Peter tells us that God has given us all things. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what all things means. Everything that we need to live godly lives, everything that we need to live in this world, we have been given this through the very written Word of God, and therefore we don't need anything else. The Bible is all sufficient. That means it needs nothing else to make us right with God. And yet when you have somebody who thinks the Spirit is directing them or nudging them or pushing them, what they're saying is that the Bible is not all sufficient.
Well, and we also have the discourse by Jesus in John chapter 16, right before his ascension and crucifixion and ascension into heaven. He gathered up his disciples, preparing them for his departure, his apostles. And in John chapter 16, beginning in verse number 13, this is what he told them. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth," speaking to the apostles, "for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to my Father. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." And this was the apostles' doctrine. It was the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It was their doctrine because God gave it to them through the Holy Spirit. And then from this, we get the written word.
You know, as I was thinking about this issue about the Holy Spirit influencing people, as some people claim, I have some questions for people that believe this.
Mm-hmm.
How do they know that they're being directed by the Holy Spirit? Or what does he sound like? What did he say?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not so much what he said as how I feel. Well, how did it feel? And if there was some operation taking place there, how do you know it is the Holy Spirit and not an evil spirit? You know, the devil's pretty good about masquerading himself.
There's no doubt about it.
You know, I was thinking today about 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. And it's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works."
Right.
So, it all really, David, has to get back always to the Word of God. If a person, just for argument's sake, received some message, how would they know if it was a message from God or a message from the devil? Well, the only way they could know is to get back to the Word of God. And if you got the Word of God, then you don't need these other messages. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there aren't any other messages. You know, so they're so inconsistent, and it's all a lovey-feely kind of religion,
mm-hmm,
where you can pretty much push it any direction that you want to go.
Well, when we look at holding this error, the erroneous error that the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to them separately and apart from the Word, the deeper that men hold on to this error, the less his respect for the revealed Word is going to be. And this is going to be an insult to the all-sufficiency of the Bible. Now, I have received something today that just shows you how far out there this can go when a person thinks that he has as much knowledge as the Word of God. Now, most of you know, and most of you have heard of this fellow by the name of Desmond Tutu. He is a retired Anglican Archbishop of South Africa. And this is what he says. Now, you ask yourself the question, as I read this to you, and you ask yourself this question, where did he get this information? Certainly it wasn't from the Bible. But here's what he says, quote, "I would refuse to go to a homophobic heaven. No, would I say, sorry, I mean, I would much rather go to the other place. I would not worship a God who is homophobic, and that is how deeply I feel about this." Now, you notice, first of all, he feels something about this. Where did he get this feeling? There is absolutely no way that he can call God a homophobe, but that's what he's doing. And he feels about this so deeply in his heart that he said, I will not go to heaven. I refuse to go to heaven. Well, he'll get his wish. There's no doubt about that. He's going to get that wish. But it's not up to him to choose where he's going to get to go like that.
That's where all of this leads.
Absolutely.
You know, some people very innocently believe that the Spirit is nudging them or has given them direction separate and apart from the Word of God. And when you have that kind of mentality, any kind of feeling that you get, any kind of wish that you might have, a person can end up attributing that to the Holy Spirit, and then convince themselves that they're doing the right thing because it was the Spirit who moved me.
Right.
You know, and it can go as far as the fellow you just talked about
there.
It just begins to snowball because everything you feel, you think's right. But even if that's the case, a fellow that you just mentioned there.
Desmond Tutu.
Desmond Tutu.
Highly respected religious man in the continent of Africa.
So he has developed to the point to where his own thoughts are really even greater and more important than God.
Sure they are. But this is the whole problem with people who are looking and having this misconception about how the Holy Spirit influences man. When a person gets this idea that God is speaking to him directly, personally, and separately and apart from the Word of God, he has automatically put himself in the position that he knows more, or he knows just as much as God does, because he's got the answers and didn't even have to go to the Word.
You know, just to show you how ridiculous this can be, when I was preaching out in East Texas, I had a neighbor, a lady who believed that the Holy Spirit was always directing her. And she would go so far as to think that when she got up in the morning and put on a certain dress, it was the Holy Spirit that was directing her. Or when she combed her hair, or when she ate a certain kind of meal, it was the Holy Spirit who directed her in that direction. When it is all right in one area, what's to stop you from moving into all areas? And I was getting kind of fed up with it one day, and she was telling me that the Holy Spirit was telling her to do this and do this, and I finally got so fed up with it, I said, the Holy Spirit told me he didn't tell you that. Well, you know, the Word of God told me that he didn't tell you that. See, that's how crazy all this can get.
Sure it is.
When people get away from the objective standard of God's Word and get into how they feel, well, it opens the door for everything.
Well, if this is the case, we have absolutely no assurance whatsoever from God. God has given us the Word, but if Desmond Tutu out here says God spoke to me and here's what he told me to tell you, then if I believe that, and there no doubt that there will be several thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, that will believe this man because he's a highly respected religious leader in denominationalism in the continent of Africa, if these individuals follow him in this erroneous idea that he's had and that he claims that he's got as much authority as God himself, then these people are going to be led down the primrose path to hell.
You know, this mentality, now we're almost out of time, we only have about a couple of minutes left, but this mentality of the Holy Spirit influencing man apart from the Word of God, that really robs man of accountability. accountability.
Mm-hmm.
It robs him of responsibility because he can always say, when called into question, the Spirit told me or influenced me to do that. Again, it opens the door to sin.
Now, one thing that we need to throw in here, and then I'm going to give it back to you, and you can wind this thing up. But I want to point out Jude verse 3, because there's something here that people really, really need to know. And Jude verse 3, the inspired writer Jude says this: Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, what he's saying here is that the faith, the system of faith, the gospel system of faith has been once for all time delivered unto the Christians, unto the saints, in the form of the revealed word that is now in your Bible. It has been once for all time delivered. That means it will not be delivered again, not in written form, not in verbal form, not in the form of an imagination, not in the form of a dream. It has been once for all time delivered. If that statement is truth, then a preacher that says, God spoke to me and here's what he told me to tell you, is a bald-faced liar. And if he tells you that, you need to run. You need to get out of there and you need to find a church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that will lead you into heaven.
You know, we have so much more that we're going to say in the next several weeks about the Holy Spirit. But I want to leave you with this passage in Acts 17, verse 11. Those noble Bereans, when the Apostle Paul was preaching, did they ask the Spirit to give them direction as to whether Paul was preaching the truth or not?
Mm-hmm.
No, they went to the written Word of God. They searched the Scriptures to make sure what was being taught. It's been great to have you in our audience this evening, and we hope that you'll tune in next week, tell your friends, encourage one another, and to listen in and study your Bibles. You have heard what men have said. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. We are thankful that you've been with us. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. You have been listening to the HPR Network.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond.
Thank you for tuning in for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 254-629-2622 or email your questions to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore, Expedition Through the Bible. Heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station and the HPR Network. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore